So without further ado, here's the man who makes every day a day to say, hey, Casper Calloway and his cavalcade of comedic comedians. Take it away, Casper.
Thank you, Margie. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. Welcome here tonight. Say, we're sure glad you joined us. And just like every day, at least when my program is on the air, we're going to take a trip around Cass's cul-de-sac. Come on along. Well, well, here we are at the home of that star of stage and screen, the lady who puts the broad in Broadway, Miss Maisie North by Northwest. Hiya, Maisie.
My, my, if it isn't Casper Calloway, what brings you to this neck?
Don't you mean this neck of the woods?
No, I mean this neck. Come closer.
I am already pretty close.
That's the name of my perfume, Come Closer. How do you like it?
Ah, Maisie, I'm flattered. Really, I am. But aren't you forgetting? You're a married woman.
I'm trying my best to forget it.
Well, listen, here's our question of the day. We've had a cold winter, one of the coldest on record. Let me ask you, Maisie, what's the coldest you've ever been?
Oh, darling, the coldest I've ever been was about 20 years ago. I was entertaining at a Christmas party.
Oh, you had a Christmas party?
Yeah, party of one. A certain gentleman, oh, he really had it bad. He said, Maisie, I love everything about you. I love your hair of gold, your ruby lips, your alabaster arms, your eyes that shine like diamonds, your pearly teeth. I must have you. I said, Mister, maybe you just like precious gems. Why don't you go knock off a jewelry store?
Oh, that was cold, Maisie.
Yes, that was cold. Coldest I've ever been. Usually I'm warm. Very, very warm.
Yeah, well, we've got to move along to the next house. So long, Maisie.
So long, Casper. Why don't you come up and see me sometime?
And moving right along, look, there's Senator So bending over his petunias in the front flower box. Good morning, Senator. I see things are looking up.
Up? Why, indeed they're up. The stocks are up, the economy's up, and the ladies' dress hands are up. Yes, sir, what a view. Things are really in the pink.
Say, Senator, are you looking at Maisie's clothesline again?
Guilty as charged. I say in Washington, too, things are up. Prices are up. Crises are up, and the jig is up. The jig is up for me, I tell you. Gonna have to retire and get me a golden parachute.
Oh, you're going to get a fat bonus just to retire?
No, they're going to send me out of a plane on a parachute. That's what the new retirement system is all about. Nobody can afford pensions anymore. They just take you up in a big airplane after 40 years of service, make you take the big leap. If you survive the jump, you get Medicare Part A, B, C, and W, X, Y, and Z.
And what do you think about the new health care?
It's sick. It's so sick it needs hospitalization. But unfortunately, pre-existing conditions are not covered.
All right, Senator. Well, our question of the day is, what is the coldest you've ever been?
Coldest? Coldest? Well, now, you know I'm from the South, sir. The Deep South, as they say. And for us Southern gentlemen, cold day is a day you have to keep your suit jacket on whilst sipping your mint julep on the veranda.
Yeah, I see.
I recall one day it was so cold that we had a 17-car pileup from a half inch of snow.
Oh, that's bad. On the highway?
No, in front of the Higgly Piggly supermarket. Everybody stocking up on milk and bread, you see.
Of course. Well, thanks for your take on things from below the Mason-Dixon line, Senator.
My pleasure.
Let's just move right along here. Next, we come to the home of the Reverend Waylon Windbag. Good morning, Reverend.
Praise the Lord.
And how's everything in the Church of Holy Wrath and Righteousness?
We are sorely tried, my brother, sorely tried.
Why is that?
Well, the basket of free will offerings is mighty empty these days. Our flock has had a run of bad luck. Sister Wilford has got the rheumatiz real bad. Brother Handy got laid off from the factory. And even Eliza Makepeace has had to make some budget cuts. Well, on account of Mr. Makepeace running off with the butter and egg money.
Oh, that's too bad. Isn't there some way you could raise some money for the church?
As a matter of fact, there is. I've decided to become a TV personality. Got my own cable channel.
That's wonderful. Do you have any sponsors?
Yes. I'm the new spokesperson for Scuppy Peanut Butter.
Scuppy Peanut Butter?
Scuppy Peanut Butter. It's the only peanut butter ordained by God.
What? What was that sound?
It always happens when I say Scuppy Peanut Butter, the only peanut butter ordained by God.
Scuppy, I'll have to put that on my grocery list. Well, my question today, Reverend, is this. What is the coldest you've ever been?
Oh, that's easy. Back in 92, it was a very bad time. I was serving a congregation in Idaho, and the wind chill dipped to 30 below. Everyone started stealing, murdering, committing every kind of abomination you could think of, just so God would send them to that evil place of fire and brimstone just to warm up.
All right. Thank you, Reverend Waylon Windbag.
Blessings to you, my son, and tune into Channel 57 at 9 a.m. every Sunday morning.
Finally, on this trip, we're going to check in on our newcomer to the neighborhood, Svetlana Kovlana. Let's just knock on her door, shall we?
Nobody's here. Go away.
Svetlana, it's me, Casper Calloway. Come to ask you my question of the day, like I always do. Come on, you can open up.
Oh, it's only you. Kasperovitz, how are you doing? Sorry, I was afraid KGB are come to take me away.
Oh, no, you're quite safe in America. Are you getting used to the American lifestyle?
Oh, yes. Some good, some not so good. Well, I like this what you call Frogert.
Frogert?
Yes, it's yogurt, but frozen. Brilliant idea, you know. I made my own Frogert in Russia. I just take Gold out of house few nights a week and let her stay outside. In morning, she gives milk. Frogert.
Oh, my. Say, that leads right to my question of the day, Svetlana. We're asking everyone, what is the coldest you've ever been? I bet you could tell some stories.
Cold? Kasperovitz, you don't know what cold is till you've spent winter in Russia. It was cold.
How cold was it?
It was so cold we would take turns sitting in deep freezer to get warm. We had terrible flu season because everyone wanted to catch fever. When we went to concerts, we had to hold up pictures of flame because our lighters were frozen. It was terrible.
Sounds like you're glad that winter is past.
Yeah, I miss the old country, but I'm glad to be in America.
Thank you, Svetlana. Now, back to our show. We're about to listen to the winning script by author James Nygren. And after the program, we're going to bring him up for a little chat about where he got his ideas for the hero of the show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it's time for the show.
When danger calls and you don't want to answer, I'll pick up the phone. When you're treading water in the deep end, I'm your life preserver. When you're stuck on the highway of despair, I'm your crossing guard. That's right, I'm Cliffhanger, Private Eye.
Yes, it's that master detective Cliffhanger, Private Eye, the Seamus who's out for justice, a quick buck, and trying to solve a mystery before the end of the show. Brought to you by Glossex, the all-natural floor cleanser. Your floors will floor you when you use Glossex. And now, here's Cliffhanger in tonight's adventure, The Macedonian Owl, or The Owl, the Pussycat, and Murder.
It was last Tuesday when I woke up in the middle of a pitch-black night. I realized my sleep mask was still on, and it was actually late Wednesday morning. So I hustled across town to my office in the Hammett building, where the first person I bumped into was Georgina, my always loyal secretary.
I'm gonna take my lunch break.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Wow, you really are a good detective. By the way, there's a woman in your office.
Did you ask her what she wants?
You're better at that sort of thing.
I was intrigued. A client would be a welcome development. My bank account had grown so small it was developing an inferiority complex.
Hello, Mr. Hanger?
She was quite a sight. More welcome than a dessert card at the end of a salad bar.
My name is Miss Olivia Warren, Mr. Hanger. I'd like to hire you.
And I'd like to be hired. What can I do for you, Miss Warren?
It's Mrs. Warren, actually.
Nuts.
I'm sorry?
Nuts. I was just thinking about my lunch today. Nuts might be a good choice. What can I do for you, Mrs. Warren?
Well, it's my husband. He's a professor at the college specializing in ancient history. Recently, he's been, well, obsessed with an artifact, the Macedonian Owl. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's the world's largest cubic zirconia.
Ooh.
My husband...
Noise and owl. Please continue.
He's become obsessed with finding it ever since he found a reference to it in an old manuscript. It seems he spends every waking hour with his nose in books, dashing off to museums and libraries. I treated it as a harmless diversion, nothing more, until yesterday, when we received this note.
Some sort of coded message. Doesn't make any sense.
It's upside down.
It's upside... Of course it is. But to truly understand a piece of evidence, you've got to look at it from every angle. Now, let me see. Leave the owl in the trees or suffer the consequences.
My husband didn't come home from the library, Mr. Hanger. And I'm so frightened, I...
The tears dripped down and her face was like a beautiful busted faucet. I hate to see a lady cry. I'd have offered her a handkerchief, but flu season is right around the corner. And I'm a cautious guy.
Mr. Hanger, can you help me?
I don't know. It sounds pretty dangerous.
Well, I can pay you $500.
Then again, there's strength in those numbers. I'll take the case. Normally, I'd start a case at the scene of the crime. And since I didn't even know if there was a crime, the scene couldn't be seen. I decided to head to the library, the last scene where Professor Warren had been seen. And that was the city library. A good detective can spot a shadow job right away. I was parking at the library when I noticed the black Cadillac idling behind me. The two men inside didn't look like the literary types. In fact, they struck me as the kind who could only count to 21 if they were naked. But I had 500 reasons to press on. Besides, it was a big city. Plenty of reasons for two tough guys to be following me and hanging out in front of a library. Excuse me!
Shh!
Oh, right.
How may I help you?
Was a man in here last night? Late 30s, tweed jacket, glasses?
Sir, we have many patrons each and every day. You couldn't possibly expect me to remember everyone who visits the library.
Oh, I see. Well, what's this? Someone left a $5 bill on the counter.
So they did. I'll just take this.
All right. So maybe now you remember the man I'm looking for.
I already told you that I don't.
But you took the money. Look, where are your reference books on ancient artifacts?
Second floor. Pleasure doing business with you.
I read up on the owl, and though I learned more about Macedonia and the world's largest cubic zirconia, didn't give me any leads on my case. Put the book back on the wrong shelf. Had to get my $5 worth. Walked out to a payphone at the corner. The black caddy was still across the street, but it was empty. There's only one thing to do at a time like this. Call in a favor from a friend. So I placed a fast call to my brother Seamus Pat Wrench, hardest boiled gumshoe the side of a pulp novel.
Yeah?
This is Hanger, Pat.
Oh, Cliff, what's new?
Pat was a good operative, and he had his fingers in more pies than an octopus in a bakery.
Huh? Did you say something?
No, Pat. Listen, I got a favor. I need a rumble on a black caddy, license NCC 1701. Who owns it? Where they are, any unpaid tickets. The whole nine yards.
I like Cliff, but when it came to the legwork at the Private Eye game, there were times when it seemed like somebody tied his shoelaces together.
Huh?
I didn't say anything. Let me take a look into this for you. Hang by the phone.
Thanks, Patsy. I decided to head back to my office before I got the answer to one mystery, at least, and found the men in the car.
Ah, good afternoon. Might you have a moment for a chat?
Why not? I'm sorry? Better check his volume, pal.
Please excuse my compatriot Frankie. I told you, you don't gotta whisper outside the library, just inside.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting. Thanks, Rocky. Now you, what was you doing looking up that owl?
Aren't you boys a little early? Owls only come out at night.
The owl to which we're referring is not of the feathered variety. We saw you perusing some history on an owl that hails from Macedonia. You know, we're looking for a fella who had an interest in that particular tome. Professor Warren. Perhaps you know him.
It's real important that we find this Professor Warren.
Can't say I do, but I was never a college man. I came up through the school of hard knocks.
Gee, I didn't hit him too hard, did I, Rocky? I mean, he was coming right at me. I had to defend myself.
Certainly not. Let this be a lesson for our friend that he shouldn't telegraph his punches. To make sure he learns, you better hit him a bit more.
If you think it's best, Rocky, I wouldn't want to leave a lesson only half taught.
After that, if you looked at a rug, an egg, and me, I don't think you could tell which of us took the worst beating. After I came to and saw they were gone, I decided to go back to my office. Georgina had gone for the day, but I saw that she'd left me a note.
Somebody called.
Hello?
Cliff sounded like he'd gone down a flight of stairs, face first.
It's not that bad. Just got jumped by a pair of hoods.
I didn't say anything. But I got a rumble on your caddy. It's registered to Miklos Zarkov.
Anything special about him other than a triple word scrabble score of a name?
Only if you know anything about cubic zirconia. Zarkov is the world's biggest manufacturer of them. He runs Hope It's a Diamond, the jewelry store chain.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Never been there, never had a reason to. I wasn't the kind of guy to settle down. When you're in my line of work, you can't let anyone close to you. Except a lady named Danger.
What's that, Cliff? You must have really gotten your bell rung. Maybe you should go see a doctor.
I don't have time for doctors, Pat. I've got a case to solve, and this one just got more interesting.
Who was I to stop a fellow Seamus from following a lead? And where Cliff was concerned, when he got a lead, he held on to it like a starving dog with a fresh soup bone.
Thanks for the concern, Pat, but I've got to go. Thanks for the help.
Sure thing, Cliff. Just be careful out there.
Pat really came through with that tip. Tipped so hot it was like a plate you had to touch, no matter what the waiter said. So I hit the mean streets of the city like a boxer in the first round of a championship bout. I decided to start asking questions, kind of questions that could end up with me sleeping with the fishes. As it turns out, Zarkov's joint was in a bad part of town, where the streets have no names.
Actually, it's the corner of 3rd and 52nd. Say, Mac, who you talking to?
Hmm? What's that?
I said, who you talking to, Mac? Or are you just another crazy, like the rest of us?
Crazy's not my line, chum. The sidewalk isn't my living room. Name's Cliff Hanger. Private Eye. I'm looking for a fellow by the name of Miklos Zarkov. Any chance you might know where to find him?
No offense, Mac, but do I look like the kind of person who would know where anyone might be in this city?
Yeah, point there, friend. Guess I'll just have to keep looking. Take care, then.
You too, Mac.
Once again, I was on my own. That's just the way I like to operate. Lone wolf out in the streets. Me versus the world. Found my way to a nearby jazz club. This place looked seedier than a garden and store on the first day of spring, and the bouncer looked tougher than an overcooked hanger steak. And to make matters worse, He didn't look very happy to see me.
Can I help you?
You're not a blonde, a drink, or a baked potato, so no. Nothing you can do for me except stand aside.
Sorry, pal, but there's a cover charge if you want to go in.
Cover charge? Even for my dear friend and fraternity brother, George Washington?
Even for the two of you.
Ah, but there's more than two of us in this party. We've also got his twin brother, George Washington.
If you had any Franklins in this group, maybe I'd have a change of heart.
Sorry, friend. I don't trust any cash that doesn't have a president's face.
What?
Forget it. How much is a cover charge?
$10.
Well, why didn't you say so? That would have made all this much easier. Here you go, sir.
Yeah, go on in, historian.
As I walked in, I headed towards the bar. Behind it stood a bartender that looked like she could make a drink so mean it would slap you around and call you names, just for starters.
Name your poison.
Why don't we start with a little information?
Sure, I like to talk, but not for free. You want to talk, you gotta order something.
Fine then, let's see what you have. Hey, nice rack.
Thanks, you like it? We just had it installed yesterday. Folks kept asking for wine, so I figured why not.
It's pretty stacked, I'll give you that. I'll have Shirley Temple. Extra cherries.
Coming right up.
I'll cut right to the chase, doll. I'm looking for a guy by the name of Zarkov. Miklos Zarkov. I heard he runs a jewelry joint in this part of town. You know where I can find him?
You want to know about Zarkov? You're going to need to order something stronger than Shirley Temple's.
Ah, he's some kind of trouble?
Three kinds of trouble. Him and his boys come around here. A pair of goons if I ever seen one.
Ah, that hits the spot. Yeah, doll, I know the type. And I'm built for trouble like a brick paddy wagon. I can take care of myself.
I don't know.
Where can I find him?
I don't know where he hangs out, but you can always ask his goons.
I had a run-in with them earlier today, as a matter of fact. One was dumber than a bag of hammers, and the other was so ugly his mother probably tied a pork chop around his neck to get the dog to play with him. If they hadn't jumped me, I'd have taken him down easy. I mean, there's ugly and stupid, but these guys must have gotten up extra early in the day to be that. What's the matter, darling? You look like those clowns are right behind me.
Funny, isn't it?
Ah, so, how much for that drink, doll?
Keep your coins, pal. Buy bandages.
We're here looking for our boss, Hanger.
It's your lucky day. He's looking for you, too.
There I was. Staring down the hoods who'd knocked me senseless earlier. About to be dragged into the lion's den. I hadn't even finished my drink. At that moment, I could think of only one thing. I'm glad I got paid in advance.
Looks like Cliff's really gotten himself into a pickle, friends. But you'll never be in a jam if you remember to use Glossex, the all-natural cleanser that's perfect for all your floors. With just one coat, your floors will sparkle with personality and you'll stop dirt and grime dead in its tracks. Why, Glossex is just the thing for any housewife looking to cut her cleaning time right in half. Glossex, available at all quality department stores.
Glossex, Glossex, it's gloss with the letter X.
That's right. But it will take more than Glossex to clean up this spot for Cliffhanger. Will he find his client's missing husband? Or will this pugnacious private eye get his ticket punched? Find out right now.
Let's go, Hanger. On your feet.
What, they tear up your library cards? I thought you were looking for Professor Warren.
We got the prof, Gumshoe. Our boss wants to chat with you.
The learned professor is painfully lacking in the owl department. Mr. Zarkov thinks you may have that information handy.
I was in a tight spot. Felt like the last cocktail weenie at a party. Wherever I ended up, it wasn't going to be pretty. Times like this called for a desperate play. Fellas, I can save you a lot of time. You don't want me. You want my twin brother, the detective.
Twin brother?
You ain't got a brother, Hanger.
Oh, yeah? Tell him that. He's right behind you.
Where?
Oh, Mr. Zarkov isn't gonna like this.
Wait, he's gone. Otay Manis' brother.
Lucky breaks like that are few and far between. And I knew the next time I met Zarkov and his boys, I'd need the upper hand, or I'd end up deader than a turkey come the end of November. I decided to head to my client's apartment to give her the news I learned about her husband and to figure out my next play.
Oh, Mr. Hanger, I'm afraid you caught me as I was getting out of the shower. I'll just finish getting dressed.
Don't trouble yourself on my account, Mrs. Warren. I have some news to tell you.
News? Oh, Mr. Hanger, these past few hours have been so taxing. My husband gone, not knowing if he's dead or alive, not knowing what'll become of me if I'm all alone. My goodness, Mr. Hanger, I don't think I realized how handsome you are.
Naked truth. The naked truth of it, Mrs. Warren, is that I know where your husband is.
He's alive? Oh, how wonderful! I can wash all of those thoughts right out of my head.
Now, let's not be premature. I know where he is, but he's being held by some tough customers. I don't know if he's alive.
He may be dead. Suddenly I feel so cold and alone.
Hold that thought. I think I know a way we can find out for sure.
How? You said these men are dangerous.
The Macedonian owl your husband was looking for, these guys are after it too. Now they don't know where it is, but if we promise them a trade for your husband, we may be able to get him out in the open so we can spring a little trap.
Mr. Hanger, you've been so wonderful, so brave. Just knowing you're putting yourself at danger to help me makes me admire you all the more. Why, I could just kiss you.
Yeah?
But of course I won't. Not if there's any chance my husband's still alive.
No, of course not. Hey, where's the phone? I've got to make a call. Hello? Western Union? Take a telegram to Miklos Zarkov. Sir, stop. I have the owl. Stop. Propose a trade for Professor Warren. Stop. If you have any plans to harm him, stop. Stop. Meet me at...
Oh, Mr. Hanger, this seems dangerous. Are you certain you should be going in there alone?
She was right, of course. A ruse might be more dangerous than being a lion tamer on the Serengeti. But I had no choice, and I told her so. Listen here, doll. Cliff's got this. I've got the perfect trap ready to spring on Zarkov and his goons when they show up with your husband. I've got that owl paperweight from your husband's office in the trunk, and when they arrive, I'll catch them in the act and get your husband back safely. Piece of cake for a gumshoe like me.
I'm glad it's going to be you and not me, Mr. Hanger. I'd be scared stiff and wouldn't know what to do.
Makes you feel any better? I won't be going in alone.
No? You're bringing backup with you to the meet?
Of a sort. If you consider my lucky 38 backup like I do, she'll keep me and your husband safe. It's a good thing your husband kept this Macedonian owl replica in his office safe. Makes for a great bait in a trap like this.
Oh, Mr. Hanger, please just be careful. If something happened to my dear husband, I don't know what I'd do.
Don't worry your pretty little head, sugar. I'm coming up to the plate and I'll bat your husband home safe. Now you wait here in the car and we'll be back before you know it. All that was left was to lie in wait with the fake owl and catch Zarkov in the act like a kid with his hand in the cookie jar. Only this cookie jar's name is Justice. All right, everything's set and ready. When they show up and admit to kidnapping the professor in order to get the owl, that's when I'll spring into action. Sounds like someone's coming. I'd better hide over here.
Keep it moving, Professor, unless you want me to break your legs right here and now.
I say, chap, if you did that, I wouldn't be able to walk at all, and then you'd have to carry me. So I don't think you'd be breaking anything at the moment. Hey, ouch! What was that for?
For running off at the mouth, Professor. Next time it'll be worse. All right, boss. This is the place we was asked to bring for the exchange and meet. You want we should survey the area?
No, I don't think that will be necessary. We have the professor in our custody, and if the person who has the owl wants him back alive, then they'll hand it over without a fuss. It isn't like someone could get a drop on us.
Aha! That's what you think, Zarkov. You've been caught red-handed. Hand over the professor or the owl gets it.
And just who are you supposed to be?
I'm the gumshoe who's bringing you in for kidnapping the professor.
Who?
You really don't know who I am? Hanger? Cliffhanger? Private investigator? The guy who's been the fly in your ointment this whole time?
I really don't know what you mean. My plan has been going to the letters this whole time.
But this is my trap. Well, okay, then. This is a bit awkward. I figured you knew what was going on here. Excuse me.
Yeah?
Could you hold this owl in my 38 for a second?
Sure.
And be careful with that owl. It is a priceless artifact.
You got it, Mac.
As I was saying, I'm Hanger. Cliffhanger. Private investigator.
From where I'm standing, it looks to me like you're in more trouble than you know what to do with, Mr. Hanger.
There I was, outbluffed by a gang of master criminals. Looked like it might just be curtains for myself and the professor. The kind of curtains that you might hang in a funeral home. But just when I thought home was lost, I spotted Mrs. Warren sneaking up behind one of the goons. So tell me, Zarky, why do you want the owl?
I want it so I can corner the market on the cubic zirconia trade, Mr. Hanger. That owl is one of the largest pieces of cubic zirconia known to man. Now that I have my hands on it, I can cut it down into many smaller stones to sell in my shop and all the other shops I plan to open up across the country.
But why go through all that trouble for cubic zirconia?
When I was a younger man, I fell in love with a beautiful woman. Oh, Natasha was her name. We were so happy together. The world was our burrito. But then came time for us to get married, and I was naught but a poor jewelry store clerk. I couldn't afford any of the expensive diamond rings. Because I couldn't get her a ring, she left me, and I've been alone forever. All I want to do is make people happy and make cubic zirconia more popular, so even men who can't afford a huge diamond can get their ladies, loves, something nice.
But kidnapping, surely there was a better way.
Well, I tried, but the professor balked at every offer I made him, so I had to resort to this. What else was I supposed to do?
Just then, Mrs. Warren sprang into action with a pass Notre Dame could have used last Saturday. That phony owl made a fast introduction to Zarkov's skull.
Oh! Oh no, the owl!
All right, boys, reach for the sky and release my husband.
Oh, do as she says, the owl is ruined.
Oh, darling, you're safe.
Dearest, however did you find me?
Well, I had help, my love, from Mr. Hanger.
That's right. Cliffhanger, Professor. Glad you're out of this mess.
Mr. Hanger, I don't know how to thank you. Would a check for $5,000 be sufficient?
I didn't get into this racket for money, Professor. Not for glory or love, either. I'm a man driven by a mission, a code. Yes, $5,000 will be fine.
Wonderful. Now, I must ask, where did you find such a convincing replica of the Macedonian owl?
You help with that, Professor. We found that little old paperweight in your office, and...
My office?
Oh, yes, darling. We were there before we came to get you.
In my safe?
Sure. Funny place for a paperweight.
Because it isn't a paperweight. It is the Macedonian owl.
The owl.
I found it in a shipment of artifacts bound for the museum and put it in my safe. I knew Zarkov would be after it.
And he'll never get his hands on it now.
Mr. Hanger.
No need to thank me, Professor. No need. Also, you can just make that bonus check out to cash. Like I said, not in it for the glory.
Well, with the owl destroyed, Mr. Hanger, at least I won't need to write that check now. So I can thank you for that.
Ah, so close. No, it's hard for regular folks to understand the life of a private eye like me. And I'm sure once the professor stopped crying, he'd know why I had to decline his generous offer. Money for me is just an occupational hazard. Just another way to get a target on your back. I did keep a souvenir, a wing of that Macedonian owl. And you know what? It's a heck of a paperweight.
Another case closed from the files of Cliffhanger Private Eye. But even now, trouble is brewing, danger is lurking, and mystery is waiting for a bus. It won't be long before a new client brings Cliffhanger back to the doorstep of intrigue and adventure. Join us next time for another exciting story of Cliffhanger Private Eye.
Well, wasn't that a great show? So much mystery, so many thrills. And the actor playing the Rocky, he'll need to buy a new shelf for all the awards he's bringing home. But now we have a special treat for you, ladies and gentlemen. The man who wrote Cliffhanger Private Eye is here with us in our studio, and we're going to bring him out to answer some questions. Here he is, James Nygren. Welcome to the show, James.
I'm sorry. I'm used to more applause.
Well, yes. Congratulations on your win. I understand your script, The Thrilling Adventures of Captain Fremulon, took first place in last year's contest.
That's right, Caswell.
It's Casper.
It sure is. Yeah, winning last year was so much fun, I just decided to do it again this year.
What would you say is the secret to writing a prize-winning radio play?
That's a good question. And I think the answer can be broken down into three parts. Step one, make sure you have paper. If you don't have tree paper, the paper inside the computer works just as well.
You mean the monitor?
Step two, letters are critical. Some people will tell you they aren't important. Pay them no mind. Without letters, you'll never get to step three.
Well, maybe we better move on to another question.
Words. Step three is words. If no one has any words to read, no one has any words to say.
Oh, that's profound, James.
There are other steps, but I'm afraid they're far too technical to explain.
Well, now that we've established your secret to success, why don't you tell us a bit about the inspiration for Cliffhanger?
Gladly. Well, the first thing I did was sit and stare at a blank wall for about an hour. Then, I hired a ghostwriter to write the whole thing for me. Just kidding, but not really. But seriously, I've always been a fan of the old, gritty, noir detective novels, so I wanted to create a world around this guy who just can't seem to get it right, but always tries his best.
Someone for the fans to root for?
That's right, an everyman. He's not Sam Spade, but at the same time, he's not Inspector Clouseau, either. He might not be the first guy you call when your husband goes missing. He might not even be the second guy you call. But when you do call him, he'll answer, mostly because he's not doing anything else.
A fascinating look into the mind of the man who brought us the thrilling adventures of Captain Fremulon and Cliffhanger Private Eye. One final question for you, James.
Fire away, Caspian.
It's Casper.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so in the first place? That's a horse of a different color, Casper. Now, ask away.
Very well. What does the future hold for James Nygren? Do you have special projects in development?
I absolutely do, and thanks for reminding me. Now I have to get down to the one-hour photo lab right after the show. No, just kidding, Casper. In all seriousness, I do have some projects on the horizon. I've continued writing scripts for the thrilling adventures of Captain Fremulon, and I'm pleased to announce that the show will be picked up and be continuing this fall at the Firehouse Theater here in Richmond.
That sounds exciting. I can't wait to hear what you have in store for us.
Thanks for having me, Casper.
Another round of applause for our second place winner, James Nygren. And now, ladies and gentlemen, next up is our first place winner, The Ellisons by Mark Byers. Stay tuned afterwards for an interview with Mr. Byers right here on our show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for America's favorite family, The Ellisons. It's the comic escapades of Harry and Mary Ellison and their three adorable children, teenagers Buzz and Princess, and of course, 7-year-old Kathy, too, as we join the family in the neatest, prettiest little house in all of Applewood at the corner of 2121 Maple Apple Lane. It's only 3 hours before the opening kickoff of Applewood High's first football game of the season. Now, let's join the Ellisons, who are gathered around the dining room table for a sumptuous pregame meal painstakingly prepared by Mary. Tonight's episode, Mary Learns What Harry Does for a Living.
Gosh, Mom, this is great. Coach says we need plenty of gravy and meatloaf to get enough energy to beat Weatherside tonight. Wouldn't he be impressed if he saw all this?
I'm so glad you like it, Buzz. It wouldn't do to have the new starting quarterback poop out during the game-winning drive, now would it?
Gosh, no, Mom. May I have some more, please?
Of course you may, dear.
Why, Princess, you've hardly touched your meal. I thought you loved your mom's gravy and meatloaf.
Oh, Father, it isn't fair.
What isn't fair, Princess?
Why, Buzz gets to run around the football field all night, burning off calories. What do I get to do? Just stand around and look pretty? It isn't fair, I tell you, that cheerleaders don't get to do more. How many calories am I going to use saying sis, boom, bah?
I'd bet you use more calories if you smiled more.
Oh, what do you know, shrimp? You still got your baby fat.
Daddy!
Princess, there will be no name-calling at the dinner table.
Oh, all right.
Besides, I lost my baby fat years ago. I'm working on my big girl fat now.
May I please be excused? If I eat another bite, I'll gain another pound.
Yes, darling, you're excused.
Father, would it be all right if I got my sweater and waited on the porch? Mary Jane and her dad are picking me up early so we can all go over our new cheer before the game.
New cheer, dear?
Sis, boom, bah! Rah, rah! Rah! Snazzy, huh? Do you think the kids will like it?
They'll love it. It's about time the school had a new cheer.
Oh, thanks, Father. You're the best. Night-night, Mother. Oh, and Buzz?
Yes, sis?
When you score a touchdown tonight, try not to do that stupid end zone dance of yours like last year.
You mean the Buzz shuffle?
Oh, I hate it when you call it that. It's so embarrassing. Brothers are so icky. Well, night, everybody. I'll be on the porch.
The icky shuffle. Icky, icky shuffle. Say, that has a ring to it. Gee, wonder what's eating her tonight.
Oh, I suspect the head cheerleader has a case of the nerves, but doesn't want to let on. She'll be all right. But you don't seem nervous at all, Buzz.
Me? Not with all this good food around. Besides, how can I be nervous knowing you and Pop will be in the stands watching us win?
Wouldn't miss it for the world, would we, Harry? We'll all be there eating buttered popcorn and sipping hot cocoa.
With extra whipped cream?
Yes, with extra whipped cream. We'll be cheering every play, won't we, Harry? Won't we, Harry?
Well,
Gee willikers, Pop, you promised.
Now, Buzz, I promised I'd try to be there. And wasn't I at your basketball practice Tuesday night?
Well, yeah.
Harry, you promised me you'd try too. Why? You've worked practically every Friday night during football season since we were married.
Well, not every Friday, dear. Remember that time I took the night off?
I should hope so. It was the night Kathy, too, was born.
Me?
Hey, I remember that night. The doctor didn't know if Mom had a baby girl or a butterball turkey.
Buzz. Now, dear, you know autumn is my busy time at the office.
That reminds me, Daddy. For English, I have to write a composition called What My Father Does for a Living. I have to interview you and everything. It's going to be 2 whole pages.
What I do for a living? Mary, have you heard of such silliness? Buzz and Princess never had to do that. Well, what are they teaching these kids these days anyway? The old ways are the best ways, I always say.
But you said you liked the new cheer, Daddy.
What? Oh, well, cheers. Yeah, sure.
Say, is that homemade gravy and meatloaf I smell?
Say, it is. See, Aggie? I told you.
He did marry. All day long I heard, I tell you, Aggie, Mary's going to fix something special for the first game of the season. We should get there before the leftovers are gone.
I did.
Why, Uncle Charlie and Agatha, have a seat. We have plenty, don't we, dear?
Of course we do. I'll get the plates.
Say, our star quarterback seems a little down tonight. You all right, Buzz? A little nervous?
It was fine till Pop said he can't be at the game tonight.
Aw.
I'm sorry, Buzz, but a man has to take care of his family, and sometimes that involves sacrifices. I know it's hard now, but someday you'll understand, and I promise that I will be at every one of your basketball games this year, just like last year. Every one. Now that's a promise.
Oh, you work too hard, Harry. I wish this one worked half as hard. Why, Charlie Coyle, what are you doing with that bread?
Why, I'm making myself a meatloaf and gravy sandwich, of course. A double-decker.
Oh, you Charlie.
Sorry I took so long. I wanted to fix us some coffee. Although now I see I could have saved on a plate. Charlie, you and your sandwiches.
Charlie and his sandwiches. Say, Charlie, since I have to leave in a minute, would you mind driving Buzz to the game? Aggie can ride along with Mary and Kathy, too.
Mm-hmm. I'll go get the car. Come on, Buzz. The star quarterback can't be late.
All right. Bye, Mom. Bye, Pop.
Bye, Buzz.
Bye, Buzz.
Dear, I'm sorry. I can't wait for that delicious coffee of yours, but I have to go. Bring us home a victory, all right? You too, Kathy, too. When I come back, I'll look in on you in bed to make sure you're having pleasant dreams.
Okay, Daddy.
Now go up and get ready to leave with your mom and Aunt Agatha. Okay, Kathy, too? And dress warm. It's going to be chilly.
I will. I'll be back in a bit, Mommy.
I am sorry, dear. Forgive me.
Of course, dear. It's just that I was looking forward to sitting next to my best fella at the football game, like we used to do. Remember?
I sure do. Aunt Agatha, you'll take care of my girls, won't you?
Don't give it a second thought, Harry. They'll be safe with me. Oh, I can't help myself any longer. Mary, may I have a cup of coffee?
What? Certainly.
Night, all. Let's go Applewood High. Beat Weatherside. Sis Boomba. Rah, rah, rah.
Mary, I don't know how you do it. I put eggshells in my coffee grounds, too. But it doesn't taste like this. Maybe it's the eggs. Say, where do you buy your eggs, Mary? Mary? Sputnik to Mary. Anything wrong, dear?
Aunt Agatha, do you know where Uncle Charlie works?
Of course I do, dear. In the office.
But what does he do exactly?
Do? Well, I'm not sure. It has to do with papers. I know that much. And invoices, there are definitely invoices involved. And there's something else, too. Oh, what's that word?
Does he ever actually talk to you about what he does at work?
Oh, that? All the time, dear. Nonstop. I just never listen is all.
Never?
I told you, dear, it's men talk. Dull, dull, dull. Why? Doesn't Harry talk about his job?
Well, not exactly. I know when his busy times are, and sometimes he talks about inventory.
Inventory, that's it. Papers and invoices and inventory. I think he uses paper clips, too. So there you have it. Harry sells insurance.
Sometimes I think that, insurance. But every time I try to get him to tell me about his day, he changes the subjects and asks about me and the children and how our days were.
He lets you talk about your day? Sounds absolutely beastly. It's a wonder you stood it all these years.
Oh, Aunt Agatha, I'm not complaining, exactly. It's just that Harry got, well, defensive when Kathy, too, said she had to write a composition about what her father does for a living. I wonder why.
Charlie, what are you doing here? I thought you left.
Well, I was almost out of the driveway when I remembered what tops off a gravy and meatloaf double-decker sandwich best. A cup of Mary's wonderful coffee.
Oh, Charlie.
What about it, Charlie?
What about what?
Did you ever ask Harry what he does for a living?
You mean for a job?
Yes.
Of course not. Why would I?
Why wouldn't you, Charlie?
Well, there are some things men just don't talk about. We're not like you girls. And a friend knows when not to ask another friend. I always say, if a friend wants another friend to know something, he'll tell him. Bye, girls. See you at the game.
Okay, Mommy, I'm ready.
Dear, when the other children ask you what your father does for a living, what do you say?
I tell him he's the best daddy in the whole world.
Oh, dear, that's not a job.
With a kid like me, it is.
Well, what say we go to the game?
Let's go, Applewood! Sis, boom, ba, ra, ra, ra.
So, what does Harry do for a living? Well, don't go away, and we just might find out.
Say, ladies, I'll bet you have a regimen of makeup and creams in the morning, and then another regimen of creams and makeup removers at night. But have you ever thought that the act of touching your skin can actually add wrinkles? It's true. A recent survey showed 7 out of 10 doctors believe women who use makeup are 30% more likely to develop wrinkles. That's why housewives everywhere are buzzing about new Panamime cosmetics, available in stores everywhere. Just pretend to apply Panamime in the morning and pretend to remove Panamime at night without ever touching your skin, and you'll be delighted with the results. And with the big economy size, Panamime is guaranteed to last 50% longer than your current brand, or will double your money back. Your husband will love that. So, next time you go into your favorite store, don't ask for Panamime by name. Just pretend you're putting on makeup, and the store manager will know exactly what you mean. He'll be happy to point you in the right direction. So try Panamime Cosmetics. And whether you're trapped in a box or pretending to walk into a stiff headwind, you'll always look your best. That's Panamime in the clear bottle.
Well, folks, let's get back to our show, shall we? It's early in the third quarter, and Applewood and Weatherside are all tied up 12-12. And I don't mind saying, the hometown folks are getting a little nervous. Mary, Kathy, too, and Aunt Agatha are in the stands. Princess is there, too, after unexpectedly twisting her ankle during one of her cheers. The gang is about to be joined by a hot dog vendor. Let's listen in.
Oh, my aching ankle. The girls all said 2 rahs would be enough, but no, I had to go rah, rah, rah. And on the 3rd rah, kerplunk. Oh, my ankle.
Keep the ice pack on it, dear. That'll keep the swelling down.
Woo! Look at Buzz go. He just ran for the 1st down.
Princess, dear, what do you think your father does for a living?
What? Oh, I don't know, Mother. Father doesn't talk much about his job.
I know, but what do you suppose he does?
Oh, that was a close one. But at least Buzz got out of the bounds before he was tackled. Golly, that Weatherside team certainly has some big brutes.
Don't you worry about Buzz. He can take care of himself.
Dear, about your father?
What? Oh, I don't know, Mother. Usually I tell the kids he's a fireman.
A fireman? Why is that, dear?
Oh, because he's kind and caring. He's so eager to help us that I just see him helping other people, too. He'd be absolutely dashing in a fireman's uniform.
Hot Doggins here! I'm Red Hot Hot Doggins here!
Your father would look dashing, wouldn't he? I wonder if he's a doctor.
Father? Please. Remember when I got that splinter in my finger? He nearly fainted.
Hot Doggins, Wunderbar football treatin'. Fear for ein Dollar here.
Mommy, I'm hungry.
Come to think of it, so am I.
Oh, dear. Hot dog vendor? Hot dogs? Oh, drat. Aunt Agatha, would you mind?
No problem, Mary. Hey, hot dogs! 4 down in front, pronto!
Better make it 8.
Hot Doggins, Hot Doggins, bitte, bitte, pardon ich, Hot Doggins.
Princess, what happened to your ankle?
Excuse me, sir, what did you say?
Du lieber, where is mein manners? Fräulein, what happened to your ankle shine?
Mother, you'd better get me to a hospital. I just thought this man was father. And if it wasn't for his thick glasses and that bushy mustache, he'd even look like father.
Ach, du lieber, Franz is no one's father. Will the Fräulein's ankle be all fixin' up and good as newin' soonin'?
Oh, she just turned her ankle. Thank you for your concern, but she'll be fine. 4 hot dogs, please. 8.
Are they all for me?
Oh, don't be silly, dear. Of course they're not all for you. There's 1 for each of us, and 4 for Uncle Charlie.
Golly. Say, you're not the regular hot dog vendor. Where's Mike?
Ach, Mike has the flu, and das ist ein fein flu, and you betcha. But he be good as newen next weekend, yeah. $2, please, for eatin'.
All right, let's see. $1.50, $75, $2. Here you go. France, is it?
Oh, no. One of those brutes just flattened blind.
He isn't moving. He's out cold on the football field.
Everybody stay calm.
Oh, I wish I could do something. Do you think he's hurt badly, Uncle Charlie? Could you get me down on the football field with Buzz?
I could, but we'd have to run faster than that hot dog vendor. He just jumped the fence. Look, he's running toward Buzz with his hot dog tray.
Clear the way. Clear the way. Buzz, are you all right, son? Speak to me.
What? Huh?
Back up, fellas. Hey, mister, who are you? A football field's no place for hot dogs. Get back in the stands, fella.
It's okay, coach. I think he's my pop.
Nine. I'm Franz, and I came to check on the kinder. Nothing helps an injured kinder like a good hot doggin'.
Pop, I know it's you. Whatever that thing on your lip is supposed to be, it's turned around like an airplane propeller. Wait, you sell hot dogs?
I'm sorry, Buzz. When I saw you flat on the football field, I just panicked. Are you okay, son?
Oh, sure he is. He just has to walk it off, right, Ellison?
Sure, coach. I'm all right, Pop. Thanks, though, for coming to check on me.
Sure, Buzz. That's what dads are for.
Pop?
Yes, son?
About the hot dogs.
You want one?
No, Pop. But be sure and save me one for after the game, huh?
Sure, son. But right now, go win one for Applewood.
So, Harry's a hot dog vendor. We'll find out more about his big secret in a minute. But first...
Mom, Dad, have you ever been in the mood for a light refreshment and a fun snack, but didn't have time for both? Let me be the first to tell you about Commentator Sarsaparilla, the exciting new drink that's like no other. See, what sets Commentator apart from other soft drinks is that inside each bottle, you'll find thin, crisp slices of the freshest Idaho potatoes the money can buy. That's right. No more choosing between refreshments or snacks. Because with Commentator Sarsaparilla, you'll have both. But if you're like me, you'll want to pause before you dive into Commentator and hold the bottle up near the light. I swear, it looks like the potato slices are actually dancing right before your eyes. That's a special treat in its own right. And if your kids love potatoes, I guarantee they'll be thirsting for Commentator just as much as you will. So run right out and get a 6-pack of the drink that's a light refreshment and a tasty treat. Commentator Sarsaparilla, available in fine stores everywhere, in both the soft drink aisle and the produce department.
Now, let's get back for the laugh-filled conclusion of tonight's episode, shall we? Buzz recovered and led Applewood to a thrill-packed 19-17 victory over Weatherside. But Princess is still hobbled by her sprained ankle. Now, as we join Uncle Charlie, Aunt Agatha, and the Ellisons gathered around the dining room table, we hear Buzz say...
Gosh, Pop, I always thought you worked undercover with the FBI or something, fighting the Red Menace in Applewood.
Goodness, Buzz, there aren't any communists in Applewood.
Sure, not with Pop catching them all.
But do you understand now, gang?
I know a family wants to be proud of what their old dad or husband does for a living, and I understand not everyone wants to be a hot dog vendor. That's why I never told you where I work.
But you say you have 6 men working for you, Harry?
Golly, Daddy, 2 more and you'll practically be conglomerated.
Something like that, Kathy, too. At night, we cover all the big events in the county, and the other fellows are street vendors during the day. I always made a point to have someone else do the Applewood games, but when Mike got sick at the last minute, I had to do something. It's the biggest game of the year. That's why I came up with my disguise.
One thing I still don't understand, though, Harry.
Oh, what's that, dear?
Remember 2 years ago, when you were worried about the office? Business was so bad, you said we might have to sell the house.
Wiener Schnitzel.
Wiener Schnitzel?
I read a magazine article and convinced myself that Wiener Schnitzel was the next big craze. Come to find out, Wiener Schnitzel and football just don't go together. That's why I had to buy that freezer and put it in the garage. Haven't any of you ever wondered why we eat Wiener Schnitzel more than most folks?
Not me. It's great in a sandwich.
But, Daddy, I'm still confused about something.
Now, what's that, honey?
Well, if Buzz can't say you're with the FBI and Princess can't say you're a fireman anymore, well, then...
Well, what, Kathy, too?
Is it still okay if I tell the kids at school you're the bestest daddy in the whole world?
As a wife who's very proud of her husband, I think it's very okay, Kathy, too.
Ow!
Your ankle's still hurting you, dear?
Yes. I think the swelling may be going up, too.
Oh, just a second, Princess. I'll go out to the freezer and get another Wiener Schnitzel for your ice pack.
If we still have enough gravy, Harry, why not bring back enough for a sandwich, too?
Oh, Charlie, you and your sandwiches.
So there you have it, folks. Another happy evening at 2121 Maple Apple Lane. And say, this week, be sure and support our sponsors. Go to the store and tell the manager that Pantomime Cosmetics and Commentator Sarsaparilla make possible your favorite radio show, The Ellisons. And be sure and join us next week at the neatest, prettiest little house in all of Applewood for another laugh-filled night with The Ellisons. Next week's episode is entitled Kathy 2 Learns Why She's Called Kathy 2. Good night, everybody.
Well, well, Casper Calloway back here at our cul-de-sac. We're lucky enough to have our first place winning author, Mark Byers, waiting in the wings to come out and tell us the secret to his success in writing this very funny family comedy. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Byers. Congratulations, Mark.
Thanks, Casper, or should I say Bob?
That's right, Mark. You and I did a show together way back in 2003 or 2004, wasn't it?
Yes, I was in one of the on-the-air radio players shows years ago, and I had a lot of fun doing it.
And you're no stranger to radio, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. I used to be a radio announcer for WZEZ and got my start in radio at a gospel station, WDYL in Chester, and a WYNX in Atlanta.
So you've been a DJ and you've been a voice actor on our show. But what made you turn your hand to writing scripts?
Well, believe it or not, I didn't hear about the script writing contest till about a week before the deadline. I got to thinking about what kind of story I could write, and I got the idea for the Ellisons while driving to work, and I actually wrote the story in about 3 nights.
That's amazing. Are you a fan of old-time radio?
Oh, I really am, Bob. I like to listen to all the old shows while I'm commuting to work. You know, they have them on satellite radio now. I like to listen to the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show, Jack Benny, lots of others.
But you never listen to Fred Allen in the Town Hall Tonight?
Oh, sure. There's nothing like Allen's Alley. But, Bob, you know how in shows like Ozzie and Harriet, you never really know what the father does for a living because it's never mentioned in the story? Well, I thought, what if a radio family really doesn't know what the father does, and how would they finally find out? So that's how I came up with the story idea.
That's great. I have just one more question, Mark. Everyone in the cast and in the audience wants to know, why did you name the little girl Kathy too?
Well, I was thinking of Father Knows Best and how he calls the older girl Princess, so I named the teenage girl Princess. And of course, Bud became Buzz. So I just thought that Kathy was the perfect name for the little girl. I didn't want to use another name, so I just named the girl Kathy too. I was going to write a sequel that explains why her name is Kathy too.
That reminds me, Mark. Tell us about your next big project.
Well, I've always wanted to do an audiobook, so I decided I had to start by writing my own book. So I've written a novel, In the Shadow of Innocence, kind of a serious one. It's being published as an e-book, which is coming out in August. Then I hope to do the voice for the audio version of my own book sometime next year, and hopefully I'll try to enter the scriptwriting contest again next year, and maybe next year I'll start with a little more time before the deadline.
Well, thanks again, Mark, and congratulations.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Well, as the fat man said when he closed the zipper on his windbreaker, I'm all in.
You have been listening to the On the Air Radio Players production of You Heard It Here First, featuring the winning scripts of our annual script writing contest. Tonight's performance features the vocal talents of Joey Bishop, Harry Caulfield, Bob Dutton, Katie Ellis, Rachel Heineman, Sean Graham, Steve Graham, Molly Greenspan, Phil Ivanhoe, Dale Leopold, Lois Purley, and Pamela Shaw. Music was provided by Logan Byam. Our sound technician was Devin Langston. Our production manager was Sean Hambright, and our director was Margie Langston. We'd like to give a special thanks for the appearance of our two winning authors, Mark Byers and James Nygren. A recording of this performance will be available soon for streaming and download from our website at www.otarp.com. Thank you, and as always, keep listening.